Congratulations to Catherine Connolly.
I hereby declare Catherine Connolly elected to the office of President of Ireland.
And a voice for peace. A voice that builds on our policy of neutrality. A voice that articulates the existential threat posed by climate change.
And then today and for the next few days, we have the voices of the poor people in Jamaica as the hurricane hits.
The weather coming in, I think this one is different.
I'm not sure if I'm scared because I don't know what to expect.
And we're going to hear from the wonderful Waterford man, the first Irishman home in the very competitive marathon in Dublin at the weekend.
I'm absolutely over the moon. My legs are a bit sore, but can't believe it now, really. It's a bit of a surreal one, but yeah, absolutely delighted.
Some people who are not delighted are Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael people.
The results yesterday clearly are a reflection on what, in my view, was a significant error of judgment in the run-up to and during the campaign, and they clearly have consequences.
Some were nearly speechless at the Count Centre on Saturday morning.
I definitely need to reflect myself on the last on the figures coming in.
Now, that was Councillor Niamh O'Donovan there on Saturday at the Count Centre. You'll hear more of that interview during the programme. Yeah, there was only two Fine Gael councillors as far as I could see. Jim Darcy turned up for a while. There was no Fianna Fáil councillors at the Count Centre. Mary Butler, Minister of State and Government Chief Whip, you were at a wedding and you couldn't make it on Saturday. Was that right?
That's correct. I was at...
Thanks for coming in, by the way. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No bother. Good friends of mine, their daughter was married last Friday up in Slane and we stayed overnight. And it was a lovely... I have to say, it was a lovely break for 2 days.
Yeah. Just on that, it's a bit disappointing. Again, I've covered elections, as you know, for 25 years, nearly 30 years now. And you'd always, win or lose, you'd always have people from the different political parties at the Count Centre as part of the democratic process. Were you a bit disappointed that there was no Fianna Fáil councillors at it at all? And no Fianna Fáil reps there. I know your candidate was not in the race anymore, but he was still on the ballot paper and Fianna Fáil was part of the presidential election.
I wasn't surprised that there wasn't any, I didn't realise that there wasn't any representation from Fianna Fáil there, because we're hurting as a party. Our grassroots, our members, our supporters were so disappointed that they didn't have a candidate to vote for on Friday last. Many stayed at home. Fianna Fáil voters, many stayed at home. Some came out and voted Jim Gavin number one and voted number two, their preference. A lot of people spoiled their votes, over 230,000 votes spoiled, which is very, very significant in any election. And I suppose, you know, as a party, there's a huge amount of disappointment out there. The Taoiseach said to the parliamentary party when we had a meeting there for 5 hours and 20 minutes about a month ago now, that there was no one more devastated than him to the Fianna Fáil party membership. He acted in good faith, but he does understand the enormity of what has happened. So what happened from there then, the Taoiseach asked me as whip of the party to put in place a review. This is underway. I move very quickly. I presented the terms of reference of the review to the parliamentary party the following week. It was agreed by all, I might say, regardless of what we've heard in dispatches over the last 48 hours. All members of the Fianna Fáil party agreed with that, and that review is underway. I'm not a member of it, but I suppose I'm facilitating it. So I'm just making sure that it's running smoothly, but I'm not involved in the actual internal discussions that are going on at the moment.
Yeah. How many people are on that review committee?
So four in total. So we have a senior counsel, Kieran O'Loughlin, and we have three members of the parliamentary party, one senator and two TDs. One TD there a very, very long time, Eamon Scanlon. One TD, a new TD from Dublin, Tom Brabazon, and Senator Margaret Murphy O'Mahony from West Cork.
And how did you pick them?
I suppose I looked at people that, for example, didn't openly declare either way during our convention, which was between Jim Gavin and Billy Kelleher. So I looked at it from that perspective. I wanted a gender balance. I felt a new TD was important, and I felt one with a lot of experience was important. I would see them all as very calm and rational and who would be prepared to look at the the facts and figures and report on that. We have an independent secretariat as well, who's not a member of headquarters, who's not a member of the party. He was hired. He would have a legal background to draft the report. That's the seriousness we're taking.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah. And were you under pressure? Did you come under any pressure from either side in terms of who'd go on that review?
No, because what happened was, so Jim Gavin pulled out on the 5th of October. The Wednesday of that week, we had our meeting, which went on for 5 hours and 20 minutes. Our following week, the Wednesday, our parliamentary party meeting, I presented what I was proposing to do to the parliamentary party. There was a discussion for an hour,
yeah,
a robust discussion.
That's right.
But I got it over the line,
yeah,
and that's my job to do that.
Absolutely, that's it, yeah. And did Micheál Martin know before that meeting that who was on the review committee?
Yes.
He did, right. Okay, so you just discuss it with him and he's happy with that.
Well, I suppose I made a presentation to him of this is what I was proposing to do at the parliamentary party. Now, I also did, who I did discuss it with was the chairman of the Fianna Fáil party, Deputy Brendan Smith, and Deputy Paul McCullough from Dublin, who's assistant whip to me across the party. So, yes, we discussed it.
Yeah, and did the leader of the party, did he express any thoughts on it?
No, he was happy with what I presented him with, and there was one small change made in relation to the terms and reference, which was, so the terms of reference included elected representatives, it included party staff, and the Taoiseach asked for one word to be included, members, as well.
Members, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is very fair.
As you say, you're hurting. And again, none of the councillors turned up just on that on Saturday. And it happened in other parts as well. And I know people will say, well, Fianna Fáil weren't part of the race as such. But just on that, people talk about democracy being eroded. We've spoken about this before and different groups looking to jump on anything. And I know people are hurting that morning. So different councillors, like on a personal level, why will I go there and you know, and have to listen to Sinn Féin, for example? But it is disappointing. You know, you have to engage with the democratic process.
You absolutely do. But I suppose I spent the last week speaking to colleagues, to councillors, to members, to supporters, and they felt that they hadn't an opportunity to vote for a Fianna Fáil candidate, I suppose, since Mary McAleese, which is 21 years ago. People didn't know what to do on Friday. One of the things I did before I left for Slain was myself and Michael went to vote. I made sure all my family voted, because I think that you have to respect the democratic process. And I just want to say, if I could, I would like to congratulate President-elect Catherine Connolly. She came into the Dáil the same day as me in 2016. And she is a very articulate, she's a very decent person, and I wish her well. She's outspoken as well, but I do wish her well. I do wish her well in that role.
Would you be worried that our international reputation may in some way be compromised, some people would say, because of her socialist background?
Look, I would hope not. And I think, like everything, you grow into a role. And even to see Catherine on the television in Dublin Castle on Saturday night, I thought she came across extremely well. And I also want to mention Heather Humphreys. I know I've worked with Heather as well for many, many years. Heather was always a good friend to Waterford when she was Minister for Social Protection and for Rural and Community Affairs. And I thought she was very, very generous. And she said, Catherine is my president, and she's my president. She's all of ours president now. And the inauguration will be on the 11th of November, I've been informed. And
Take it from there. Paul Hosford will be on the programme later. I did a quick interview with him before we came in. Here's a quick clip of what he had to say about Micheál Martin on Saturday.
Two spokespeople confirmed to the Irish Examiner that he wasn't coming to Dublin Castle. And then there was real anger in Fianna Fáil then. People were legitimately angry about the Taoiseach potentially missing the election of a new president. And then all of a sudden he was on the road, he was coming up, he was going to do 6-1 from Dublin Castle.
Another mess, another fine mess, as Laurel and Hardy would say.
So as I was coming down the road from the car, coming from Slain on the Saturday afternoon, I became aware that there was some kind of an issue in relation to whether the Taoiseach was attending Dublin Castle. The Taoiseach was always attending Dublin Castle. I made a couple of calls, I just checked, and I found out that what the Taoiseach had said was, he assumed that the announcement would be later in the day, and he was going to do the 6-1 news from Cork and then travel to Dublin Castle. And that's where the mix-up came.
But even if you look at a ministerial car going, again, within the speed limits and all that, and having guard escorts, you're still looking at least 2 hours. Like, there was no way he was going to be able to do the 6-1 and then go up to Dublin Castle.
Well, I think early in the morning, that was his plan as the day was unfolding, because, you know, we didn't have a first count anywhere, I don't think, until well into the afternoon. But like,
it did look like it was going to be over fairly quickly.
I assume so, because there were so few candidates in the race. But the Taoiseach always intended going.
Okay.
I don't know where the mix-up came.
Okay.
He did ask if he could potentially do the 6-1 news.
Yeah.
That may have been a pre-record from Cork and then travel.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
In terms of John Lehart and other people that have spoken, again, I presume you would go along the line of don't burst the party, don't wreck the party. Let's go back to Fianna Fáil basics. Let's wait for this review. Like, you've said you're disappointed in many other respects. Others have said that there's a lot of chatter going on behind the scenes. I know you can't say very much, but like, what can you tell me this morning, Deputy Butler, in terms of the angst and the anger? And you, as Chief Whip, know more than probably all the other TDs combined. So I know you're not going to, and I don't want you to reveal anything here. I just want you to give me your honest view of where we are now this morning.
So what I will say to you is I've spent the last 2 days on the phone talking to people, talking to members of the parliamentary party, talking to headquarters and talking to the Taoiseach and talking to the Chief of Staff. So it was a busy Sunday and Monday. The vast majority of the parliamentary party support the Taoiseach. I am convinced of that. The vast majority of the parliamentary support the Taoiseach and they also respect the Taoiseach. What we have seen, I suppose, over the last weekend, people have raised legitimate concerns. Listening to Deputy Malcolm Byrne yesterday on the 1 o'clock news on RTE, he's very disappointed. He's a new TD. Actually, he used the words he's fed up. But when I spoke to him last night, he said to me he's fed up of the slow scale of delivery, and you know, he was quite outspoken in relation to that. I suppose, look, you know, there was one particular politician that spoke out over the weekend, and I think he has made a career out of speaking out. He has spoken out against 3 different Taoiseachs
at
this
McGuinness.
Stage.
Well, John McGuinness, you're talking about.
If the hat fits. And he, you know, so I suppose... And
John is a thorn in the side of many Fianna Fáil leaders and has been over the years. But John would always say that he is true Fianna Fáil, grassroots Fianna Fáil.
He's absolutely true Fianna Fáil, and I would have worked so closely with John to make sure that he had the votes to become Leas Cionn Comhairle of the Dáil not so long ago. But you do have to acknowledge and accept that there are some people within the parliamentary party who are feeling maybe not communicated with, and we have to take all that on board. And
it has to be more than that now, Mary. Come on. Like, I know after the, you know, the teacher was calling people in for tea and biscuits and stuff like that and became a bit of a joke. Communication is one thing, but it's more than that. This is more fundamental than that.
There's a small group of people that would prefer that that Micheál Martin wasn't leading wasn't the Taoiseach and wasn't Uachtaráin Fianna Fáil.
How big?
There's a small group there.
We're talking less than a dozen.
I would think so, yes. I would think so. And they have been very vocal of their criticisms of the Taoiseach. We're 1 year into this new government. We have a programme for government. We're 1 budget in. We have 4 more to deliver. The Taoiseach will deliver 2 more budgets. On the 16th of May next year, the Fianna Fáil party will be 100 years old. I'm a member with almost 40 years. We're a proud party. And we're very good at washing our dirty linen in public.
So would you appeal, what would you say directly to those TDs and senators listening this morning now?
Well, what I would say is that we have a programme for government to deliver. We will have the presidency of the European Council next year, which is very, very significant for Ireland on the European scale. When you look at Micheál Martin as Taoiseach and as Uachtaráin Fianna Fáil, he is respected nationally and internationally. Mm. Yes, we've had a tough month, but we've come back from much worse than this.
So would you appeal to them?
Yes, I will. I would appeal for unity. I think it's really, really important that we have unity as a party. And you also have to factor in, we're part of a coalition government. So you will always have TDs that might be after serving 10 years or 15 years in the party and might have been disappointed because they weren't appointed as ministers or ministers of state. They mightn't have been appointed as committee chairs of Oireachtas committees. But when you're in a coalition government, the pie is smaller. And I suppose the more TDs you have and the bigger your parliamentary party is. So we've 71 members of our parliamentary party. We've 48 TDs. We've 19 senators and we have four MEPs. We won three elections last year.
We won. So you're saying this is you're a victim of your own success. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we have a very strong leadership who's well respected internationally and nationally, as I have said. There are always going to be problems within political parties. We made a mess of the presidential campaign. I'm the first to say it. We made an absolute mess of it. And there are people hurting across the board. But I do think that some of the
issues
raised...
And your leader, and he's a close friend of yours, Micheál Martin, was at the centre of that mess.
Yes, he was, but there was others there as well.
I know.
But on paper,
and I
don't want to bring Mr. Gavin into this and his family because they have gone through so much, but on paper he was an excellent candidate.
Okay.
And sometimes, I do believe at all times, the Taoiseach acted in good faith in relation to the candidate we had. Then we moved on to, I suppose, a process where there was a selection convention.
Yeah.
And I was tasked with putting that in place as well, supported by, again, Brendan Smith and Paul McAuliffe.
And did you ring people in the parliamentary party to say, don't vote for Billy Kelleher?
No, I absolutely did not. And the one thing you'll also notice, because when I'm the whip of the party, I sit up here above it, and I didn't declare who I was supporting until the nominations closed on the Friday. I deliberately did not. But can I say one thing? Because we were accused of being frog marched out onto the plinth to support one candidate over the other.
Not the case.
I got as many contacts from Billy Kelleher's team as I did from Jim Gavin's team.
Okay. And finally, if this rump of less than 12, you think, TDs and senators continue to push for a leadership election within the party, will they potentially wreck the party?
I think it is damaging to the party. I think we go down in the polls, for example, when you have infighting. Our supporters don't want to see that. Our members don't want to see that. Our councillors don't want to see that. We've 248 councillors. We have mayors. We have Cathaoirleachs all over the country. And, you know, this is a time when we have full employment in the country. This is a time when Ireland is ranked the seventh strongest economy in the whole of the world, not only in Europe. And this is a time, I suppose, that we have to pull together. But I do accept that for many people, they're not seeing the uplift that some other people are in relation to their personal circumstances, financially and otherwise.
Okay. I know you've got to go to Clonmel. I appreciate you coming into us this morning. A couple of quick things. There have been lots of incidents of depression and different matters in relation to West Waterford, especially. There's also been issues in relation to drugs. There's also issues in relation to the lack of Gardaí in certain areas. There's a new free counselling sessions offered for men. I know you want to give that a mention. But also, in the context of policing in West Waterford, what do you have to say?
So I have been in touch with the superintendent, Larry Sheehan, in the last couple of weeks in relation to the issues that have been raised. So there was three significant incidences in West Waterford where seven Gardaí were injured. Four of them had to be hospitalised and some of them weren't able to return to work for at least 2 weeks. So we send them our best wishes because it's a tough job to do. I suppose the three incidences happened... Or the incidents happened.
Yeah, and we'll keep them general as such.
Yeah, the incidents happened, I suppose three incidents happened within kind of 3 or 4 days, which was significant. There are always going to be different things that happen over weekends, whether it's drugs related, whether there's rows. You know, you just don't know. These things happen, but it happened in quick succession, which was very, very worrying.
Are there enough guards in West Waterford?
Well, Minister Jim O'Callaghan, the Minister for Justice, visited Waterford recently. He was in City Hall launching a consent matters what's the word I'm looking for, consent matters, a new process that's actually been put in place. And we visited youth aversion programmes, we visited Waterford Gardaí, we visited Dungarvan Gardaí. And the superintendent, they'll always want more. But if you were to look at the figures of Gardaí across Ireland, Waterford would fare out one of the best.
Yeah, I know the city is very strong. So are you saying you've been told by the superintendents between Tramore, Dungarvan, West Waterford that that there's enough Gardaí in West Waterford?
No, I'm not saying I have been told that, but they got two new Gardaí. So Waterford got five new Gardaí in the last 6 or 8 weeks, three to the city, two to West Waterford. I know that there is a new sergeant gone into Lismore, and I do know that anybody who retires will be replaced. Obviously, when you're a new Gardaí and you come straight out of Templemore, you will have to, it's better for you, I suppose, to be working with some colleagues and peers before you're left in an area on your own, and that's what they're doing at the minute.
Okay, because again, there was a big protest in Capaquin the other night. We know about that, don't we?
Yes, there are. And I've been engaging with organisations in Lismore, for example, that there are concerns. And older people are worried. They are worried that they feel that they're not safe. But I do believe that the super has a really good handle on this.
So you won't be calling for more Gardaí. You won't be saying to the Minister for Justice at the minute. You're saying, from what you understand, there's enough there at the minute.
From what I understand, you can always do it more. Absolutely. And 11,000, this is unprecedented, 11,000 people applied to join the Gardaí this year. We've had problems with the last 3 or 4 years, but the numbers are now starting to rise.
Very briefly, Minister for Mental Health, 15,000 free counselling sessions for men. Where do people go?
So where do people go? So this is 2 million I secured in budget 2025, recurring funding, so it'll be happening the whole time. 15,000 free counselling sessions for men started on the 1st of September. Log on to yourmentalhealth.ie/men. Where this is different, you can actually get the counselling from your own kitchen table. So you speak about somebody who might be a farmer out working all day, comes in the evening, the last thing they want to do is get showered and drive into Dungarvan or Waterford or Tramore, looking for these supports. You can contact Connect Counselling from 5 to 9 every night, 7 nights a week, 1800 477 477. And if you log on to yourmentalhealth.ie/men, you can see that we're providing supports in 20 different languages, people coming in here on permits, valid permits, working here. I also engage with the traveller community, the Irish Farmers Association, ONE, which is an organisation which supports retired veterans. I casted the 2 million as wide as you possibly could.
Yeah.
And there are not waiting lists at the moment, which is the important thing, because this is specific. This is different to other counselling supports that we provided before. We're losing too many men to suicide. 4 out of every 5 suicides are men. 75% of all counselling supports accessed today in Ireland will be accessed by women. So the most important thing we can do is we can talk openly about mental health and well-being. But reaching out to men, especially middle-aged men, they don't ask for help.
Yeah.
And it's so important that we keep doing that.
Yourmentalhealth.ie/men, 1-800-477-477. In the 3 minutes we've got left, Waterford Airport, are you happy that a private investor is coming in now?
Well, I'm happy with the progress that's after being made. I was keeping a very, very close eye on what happened at the local authority meeting last week. The 32 councillors were there. They voted, each and every one of them. I think one of them abstained. 31 of them voted to support the proposal. I would have been briefed all along by the chief exec, Sean McKeown, in relation to what was happening. And this is good. This is a good day for Waterford, because we were struggling to get it over the line. Working, myself and John Cummins worked very, very closely together. We were struggling to get it over the line. We got it into the programme for government, but time was slipping again.
But you still weren't delivering, Deputy. Again, it still wasn't happening. Like you were talking about, I can go back over the meetings and all the different stuff last year. Like,
it was extremely frustrating.
The government, I'll put it bluntly, the government were no help in achieving this positive outcome.
I suppose I can take that on the chin. We weren't any help in receiving this positive outcome of the 30 million from a private investor. And I'm looking forward to seeing the development happen as quickly as possible. But what I will say to you is, it wasn't from the want of trying. And I suppose, and I'll go back to this point, and, you know, it hasn't been spoken about a lot, but the local authority were a very small shareholder in it, 2 to 3%. It was a private company. And there was a lot of, I suppose, questions being asked in relation to that.
No.
And
he asked all those questions. The department went back and forward. And then they said, we're happy with all that. And still there was no positive outcome. I know you were very frustrated with the Department of Transport in relation
extremely
to this.
Extremely frustrated. Yeah. And I was on the record for...
But why do you feel there was so or no willingness by the department to support the airport?
I believe they think we have enough of airports in Ireland, that we have Dublin,
simple as that.
We have Cork. I do.
Was it an anti-Waterford thing?
Definitely not anti-Waterford. But what I will say, and I said it here several times, that I always felt the aviation sector within the Department of Transport were not supportive of this. If you bring it back even to Shane Ross's time, okay, John Halligan's time, the whole way up. So I am pleased that Willie Bolster, the main shareholder, secured this huge investment for Waterford Airport. I am pleased that the councillors, led by the chief exec of Waterford City and County Council, decided that we need an airport. We do need an airport. And it's really important that we have that connectivity, and everybody looks forward to having flights. And then it'll be over to the people of Waterford and the South East to support the airport.
It's a little bit embarrassing, though, from the government's perspective.
It's frustrating and it's annoying. You know, we have spoken at times about the slow pace of getting work done. That I'm not going to dress that up and pretend that that's not annoying. I'm a minister. This is my sixth year in the Department of Health. And that is the frustrating part of trying to deliver and the length of time it takes to deliver infrastructure projects.
Yeah, OK. And when the runway is officially opened, I presume the governmental parties and reps will be there?
I'm sure we will. To wish everybody well, but you know, all joking aside, it's a phenomenal investment. I know there was a lot of concerns in relation to the amount of land that the council were going to be selling.
And again, if these people, the Comers beforehand, or this man from south of one of the big states in America, if they believe it's worth investing in, like the government, why did the government not do it?
Because the government will tell you, and if you put in a PQ, if anyone put in a PQ today, a parliamentary question in relation to why didn't they would have said it's in the programme for government, we are supportful of it, but there is a spending code that has to be adhered to.
Okay.
And that's the bottom line that I get every day of the week.
Mary Butler, thank you very much for talking to me this morning. I appreciate you giving us the time. Thank you.
Thank you.